Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministering the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it wherever you are, wherever you're joining us from. Whatever platform you're joining us on, glory to God. I'm so thankful that you could make the time tonight, and I'm excited as always. What a privilege. This is one of the greatest honors of my life to be able to get around the Word of God with the saints, especially in an intimate service like this, even though it's virtual. We're really connected in the spirit together, and in our Bible studies, as you know, if you've been with us for any amount of time, there's a glorious experience, a glorious and intimate encounter that we always share together in these Bible studies, in this meeting. So I want to thank you tonight for being a part of this one. Thank you for making the time. Glory to God. Love Revolution is what we have been studying for the last several weeks, and it's still ongoing. Hallelujah. We lately, in the last month or two, we have streamlined our teachings, our Bible studies, so they are much shorter. Now I look back at the 1 hour services that we used to do, and I wonder, how did we do that? Because that's just really tough, especially at night. It's the end of the work day for most people. It's the middle of the week. So Wednesday is tough. Hump day, most people are looking forward to wrapping up the week, but Wednesday is like you've just got to pull through that. So it's a privilege. Glory to God. We don't take it for granted, the opportunity to be able to get together around God's word. But at the same time, we want to be respectful of what's going on with you. Certainly we can be around these meetings for much longer, but it's in the middle of the week. We want to keep it as concise, as short as possible, not too short, obviously, because we want to be in the Word. This is our midweek energizing opportunity. It's like when we go to get our fuel, right? We go to fill up our gas tank, right? It's kind of, you know, it's running low. We're beginning to see that thing show. We're not empty yet, but it's getting very close. It's like quarter tank now, getting close to reserve. So this is where we come to be recharged, especially around the Word. And we don't need but maybe one or two powerful nuggets of the Word of God that can just charge us up. The Holy Spirit can bring an explosion of His revelation through that Word, and we can take it and run with it. And who knows, maybe at a later time in the future, certainly maybe some of our times of fasting and praying, like different times in the year, like early in the year when we have our times of prayer and fasting. Yeah, maybe we can make them slightly longer, just because those periods are devoted. They're devoted to just being in the presence of God, to praying, to studying. So maybe then, but we're going to do our best to just as our default, to keep it reasonably short, not too short, but reasonably short. So let's bow our heads. 5 minutes is already gone. Let's get into this. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory to God. Love Revolution. Father, thank you so much again for tonight. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for all of my brothers and sisters, everyone that's under the sound of my voice tonight, everyone that's gathered around the Word of God with us, wherever they are around the world, whatever platform they're joining us on. Some people are going to be with us in real time, but others would have to listen to this message at a later time, some on our podcasts, some on our YouTube channel, some on the website, and or Facebook and things like that. We thank you for that opportunity. We give you praise for the blessing of life. We don't take that for granted. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We honor you today. We give you praise and glory. And open our eyes, precious Holy Spirit. We invite you. We welcome you. Give us illumination in the Word of God. Empower the Word to us tonight, to everyone, every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. Empower the Word to us. It may be one nugget that we receive that just explodes within our spirit, and then we get through the rest of this next few days just studying that, and that leads to something else, and the Holy Spirit connects things, and whatever that is, speak to us tonight. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God, love for a lifetime. That's what God has for us. In this love revolution, the last couple of our teachings, we have been in this area where we've not been able to get away from celebrating the love of our Father for us. He loves us so much. Our Father loves us so much. And he said in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3, I've loved you with an everlasting love. And there is nothing longer lasting than everlasting. So that everlasting love is love for today, is love for tomorrow, is love for next week, is love for next month, is not love for next year, is love for the next seasons of our lives. No matter what is going on, no matter where we are in our lives, on our journey, God, our Father, loves us. Wherever you find yourselves, you may find yourself in a good place, like on the mountaintop, and so many good things are happening, so many testimonies, miracles, manifestations. A lot of people have had those lately. I mean, I've heard some mind-boggling testimonies lately that are just really, my goodness. You hear some of those things, you see some of those things, and you go, wow, God is truly incredible. Hallelujah. He loves us. He loves us. It's his love that's producing those testimonies. And yet there are some times when we are going through a valley experience, and he doesn't love us any less in the valley. As a matter of fact, his love is more demonstrated through our valley experiences a lot of times, because that's when we really need to hold on. That's when we really, really need to press forward. We don't necessarily feel the vibes of his love in the valley. In the valley, you hear a lot of noise. It's the noise of wild animals. And some of them sound like they are coming after us, like they're coming to get everything that we have. It's like sometimes all of hell is breaking loose against us. But even in the valley, like David said, yea, Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In every season of life, God's love secures us. God's love anchors us. We're never without his covering. Glory to God. We're never, ever without his presence. Praise God. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, we've read this the last couple of weeks now. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of any man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Now, he loved them first. He loved us first. We love him with a fraction of the love with which he loved us. And when we love him with that fraction of the love with which he loved us, we qualify to receive the things that he has prepared for those that love him. In every season of our lives, whether the going feels good or the going feels tough and challenging, he loves us. There are things he has prepared for us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. No matter what's coming, God's love has you covered. Remember what Romans 8:28 says? We know, he said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. You do love the Lord, don't you? You are called according to his purpose, aren't you? You are walking in the center of the will of God, are you not? Therefore, all things we know, we're not guessing, we're not wishing, we're not hoping. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. The Lord already told us, he says he would always be with us in Isaiah chapter 43. When we walk through the waters, he says they will not drown us out. When we walk through the fire, we will not be burnt. Glory to God. He said he will give men in exchange for our lives because he loves us. Because he loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we came onto this. We were discussing one of Satan's biggest things, one of the biggest strategies that he uses against us, against believers, is he goes ahead. He tries to anticipate some of the things that God has prepared for our future, and he tries to circumvent some of those things. He tries to put lay traps. He tries to create snares. Sometimes he'll create roadblocks and obstacles so that our faith is tested and proven. Amen. And very interestingly, David used this term, which we've looked at now the last couple of weeks. David used this word prevented. He'll say the enemy prevented me in the day of my calamity. That the word prevented means to go ahead, to anticipate, to go ahead and try to circumvent, to try to derail the preparations that God has made. If the Lord has opened certain doors ahead of you in the next season of your life, he tries to go ahead and close those doors. If the Lord has created certain relationships that are meant to promote you and elevate you, he goes ahead before you arrive at where those relationships are. He tries to put poison in those relationships so that by the time you get there, the favor you should enjoy is no longer there. Satan is very, very, very adept at working at this stuff. You know, we were talking last week, you know, the word demons is from the original Greek word demonias. That's intelligent beings. Satan works with a group of intelligent beings. They are familiar, they are very familiar. They are familiar with us. They are familiar with the patterns of our lives. They are familiar with our predispositions, our tendencies. They are familiar with the decisions we make. Then they know our history. They know our roots, our background. They know where we're. These familiar spirits have monitored us since we were little children. Hallelujah. The same way God has loved us. He loved us even before we were in the womb of our mothers. These intelligent spiritual beings are sent against us to monitor us so that at different seasons and at different junctions of our lives, they can come in there and try to derail us. But praise God, we are secure in the love of God. You remember what David said in Psalms 18 and verse 5? He said, the sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. Then he said in verse 6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. Hallelujah. David had this security in God. To be very blunt about it, the key to the success and the key to the remarkable life and journey that saints of old, like David, enjoyed and experienced was that they were secure, very secure in the love of God. David was David especially was very, very, very secure in the love of God. David was never flustered. If everybody else seemed to be going ahead and everybody else seemed to be enjoying certain things, everybody else seemed to be enlisted in the king's army and he seemed to be forgotten, if they invited everybody else to an event because the prophet of the nation is coming to visit and he was left out and told to stay with the sheep alone, David was never flustered. David, he never took personal anything, if you slighted him, if you try to shame him, if you try to hijack things that belong to him and take them away, if it didn't matter what you did, David was never flustered. Yes, as a human, he will respond like every human responds, but he was secure in the love of God. He was the secret, I believe absolutely, the secret to the remarkable life that David lived and enjoyed was he was very secure in the love of God. Now, you see this again in Psalms 18 and verse 16, look at it. It says there in verse 16, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. Verse 18, they prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. He said his enemy was too strong for him. They prevented him in the day of his calamity, but the Lord was his stay. What does stay mean? It means it was his security. It was his high tower. David was secure in the love of God. Let's point out one or two things about him tonight and about this security that he had in the love of God that was responsible for a lot of the success and a lot of the blessings of God upon his life. Let's look at one or two little things. First, even in this Psalms 18, I believe absolutely the 18th Psalm is really and you find it in I think it's 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel, verbatim, really, almost everything that's in Psalms 18, you will find in an earlier piece of scripture, in a song or a psalm that David wrote. After, in fact, the introduction to this particular psalm, look at what it says. It's a psalm that was written almost as a celebration for all the deliverances that he had experienced. This is the way it's titled, Psalm 18, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Hallelujah. It was a song that was written to celebrate the many deliverances. Why did God deliver him? Why did David think God delivered him? All of these situations that he encountered, why did he think that God was always there to keep him? Well, because he believed that God loved him. He believed that God loved him. In fact, the very first line of this psalm, David is almost returning his love, the love of God, is almost returning that love to him. Because he knows he is the root of everything that I've ever experienced. Every good thing that has come into my life is because of his love. So what's the first line of the 18th Psalm? David is returning the love of God back to him. He's telling him, I love you too, Lord. I love you. It's a little fraction of the love with which you love me. But Lord, I love you. Glory to God. Look at it. Psalms 18 and verse 1. Look at it. I will love you. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from all my enemies. I will love you, Lord. See, he recognized everything that he enjoys in his life is because of the love of God. He was so secure in that love. One of the Psalms that demonstrates the security that David had in the love of God was that Psalm where he talked about how everything about his life was predetermined by the love of God. His thoughts towards me, he said, you can't count them, you can't number them. He said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, what's the meaning? The name David, what does the name David mean? And I'm asking you that question. It's not a trick question, but I'm asking you that question because I want you to see yourself exactly the way God sees you, like he saw David. I want you to position yourself in your mind. I want you to see yourself exactly how God sees you, like he saw David. What does the name David mean? It means beloved of the Lord. That's what David means. Beloved of the Lord. He's loved of God. He's loved. So every time David heard his name, he was hearing, beloved of the Lord. You are loved of the Lord. He was so secure in the love of God. I believe every time he heard his name called, there was more and more and more and more realization of how much God loved him. Every time they called him, whether it was his siblings, whether it was his parents, whether it was his friends, every time they called him, he heard, you are loved by God. Every time they called him, you are loved by God. It's not surprising. He got a revelation of that love. He became secure in that love. You could not convince David that God did not love him. You could not convince him otherwise about the love of God. He was so secure in the love of God. Some of the scriptures, some of the Psalms, he wrote, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. It didn't matter what was going on in his life. My heart is fixed. What does it mean, my heart is fixed? My heart is established. My heart is secure in the love of God. I know God loves me. God loves everything about me. David didn't have any qualms about belief. So somebody could listen to me and say, you are proud. Some foolish person who doesn't have understanding. They could look at him. Read some of the Psalms that he wrote. Say, he's proud. He's proud. He's arrogant. No, that's not arrogance. That's being secure in the love of God. That's being secure in the love of God. So what happened when he had to go face Goliath? You remember in 1 Samuel 17? There was not even an iota of fear within him. There was not even, when all these so-called soldiers were hiding, there was not even an iota of fear within David. Why? He was secure in the love of God. Why? Because through the years, he had bought into the revelation of God's love for him. God loves me. God loves. Every time he heard his name called, you are loved by God. You are the beloved of the Lord. And that's exactly how God sees you, my brother, my sister. You are the beloved of the Lord. What does the Bible say in Ephesians chapter 1? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and verse 6. What does it say? Right? We are predestinated. Right? We are predestinated by the love of God. And then in verse 6, it said, we are accepted in the beloved. Well, the word David means beloved of the Lord. Where the Bible says in Ephesians 1, we are beloved. We are accepted in the beloved. So we are God's David. We are God's New Testament David. Hallelujah. And what is missing for a lot of believers is a revelation, having a recognition and a revelation of the love that God has for them. See, that was not missing for David. For a lot of believers, that is missing. It's why this revolution, this love revolution, is gotta happen for us. It's gotta take hold in our lives. Because God loves us, and God loves us, and God loves us, and God loves us. And God, no matter what is going on, God loves us. Hallelujah. You see that scripture right there in Ephesians 1:4? Ephesians 1:4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He predestinated us in love. He chose us in love. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. So that means we are beloved. We are David. We are David. That's Psalm David wrote. Hallelujah. That's Psalm David wrote about the origin of his life and everything about his life. It's so amazing. And our time is gone. It's going. And this is just one of the scriptures I really wanted us to read a little bit of tonight. Psalms 139. David was just so established in the love of God. He was so secure in the love of God. Hallelujah. No wonder if something terrible was going on in his life, he didn't let that damage him. He just was secure in the love of God. Hallelujah. He was never threatened. He was secure in the love of God. David always had this assurance. God loves me. God loves me. Look, even at that Psalms 23, the shepherds and the Lord is my shepherd psalm. Psalm 23. Think about that. That's a psalm of David. It's one of the most popular psalms of David. Think about it. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. See, he leads me by the still waters. He leads me in the path of righteousness. For his name's sake, yeah, do I walk? I mean, that's someone who is secure in the love of God. That God loves me. There might be multiple billions of people in this world, but I know that God loves me. God loves me. You could never take that away from David. Remember that Psalm in Psalm 139? Look at some of the verses here. Oh Lord, you have searched me. You know me. You know my down sitting, my uprising. You understand my thoughts afar off. You compass my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, you know it altogether. You have beset me behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. He believes that God is, you know, in the world. This is how the world describes obsession. If there is a human being who feels this way and acts this way towards another human being, they'll say he's obsessed with that human being. There's an obsession there. But David didn't think God was obsessed with him. David just knew God loved him. He said, you know everything about me. When I sit down, you know me. When I stand up, you know me. If there's something in my mind that I want to say, you already know it. It's like almost like God is like he's on God's mind 24/7. He's like God is always thinking about him, he thinks. He believes. And he was right. He said, look this. Where will I go? Verse 7. Where will I go from your spirit? Where will I go from your presence? If I ascend up into the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the innermost part of the uttermost part of the earth, even the of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me and your right hand will hold me. Verse 14, I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right well. He's calling himself marvelous. I'm wonderful. I'm fearfully made. And by the way, I'm marvelous. And that my soul knows. Nobody can change my mind about that. My mind is fixed on this. I am marvelous. Hallelujah. I'm marvelous because God loves me. Glory to God. Remember I was saying earlier, right? Like if you listen to David, you read some of his Psalms, some people think, he's arrogant. He's a fool of himself. He thinks he's all that. He thinks this. Who thinks like this? Who thinks God is always thinking about him 24/7? You think God doesn't have other things to do? You think God doesn't have more important things to do than thinking about you? You think you are the center of God's world? Yes. David said, yes, I am the center of God's world. Hallelujah. God can't stop thinking about me. Glory to God. I'm wonderfully and I'm fearfully made. And that my soul knows. Marvelous are you, and I'm your work, so I'm marvelous. That my soul knows. Nobody can change my mind about that. I am marvelous. Hallelujah. Oh God, we're having such a good time. Hallelujah. It's the presence of God. You can feel the joy of the Holy Spirit. It's the joy in His Word. It's the joy in His presence and the joy in His Word. And it says, in His presence, there's fullness of joy, and on His right hand, there are pleasures, not pressure, pleasures forevermore. So no matter what you're feeling right now, no matter what you're dealing with, just relax in the love of God. Just take that love. Just embrace that love. Believe that love. You are God's David. You are God's beloved. Hallelujah. You know what he said? He said, that my soul knows. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right where. That means I'm marvelous. And my soul knows that. Nobody can change my mind about that. And he said in verse 15, my substance was not hid from you when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in your book, all my members, all my days were written, which in continuance were fashioned even as when as yet there was none of them. And now you have to read this. I give you this assignment. Everyone, you got to go read this in a more literal translation, like the New Living Translation or New King James Version or, contemporary English, so you can really get the gist of a lot of what David is saying here. I mean, David really believes is all that because of the love of God. And you cannot convince him otherwise. David absolutely believes he's all that because of the love of God. And no one can convince him otherwise. Glory to God. Look at it. It says, your eyes did see my substance being yet imperfect. In your book where my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Then look at verse 17. He says, how precious also are your thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. How precious are your thoughts to me. Then he said in verse 18, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. That is, you are always around. You love me so much, you can't even leave me alone. You love me so much, your presence is always around me. Right? If I go up, you are there. If I go down, you are there. If I go to the right, you are there. If I go to the left, you are there. Whatever I do, you are always, because you love me. You love me so much. Your thoughts, look at it. Your thoughts towards me are precious. Your thoughts towards me are precious. So then he says, my heart is fixed. Right? He says, my heart is fixed. Right? And I think that's Psalms 57 and verse 7. Actually, let's read that and let me try to close out. I did not remember to set my alarm. I actually set it. I just didn't, my timer. I turned it on. I didn't tell it to go. So here we are. I think we are 35 minutes, and I haven't heard that alarm go off. So that means I forgot to turn it on. But let's read one more scripture here. David said, "My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed." And he's talking about his heart being fixed in the midst of very difficult situations that he's grappling with. My heart is fixed. That is, my heart is established in God. Hallelujah. Look at Psalms 57. Also, Psalm 108, verse 1. Same thing, my heart is fixed. Look at Psalm 57. Let's read this from verse 1. Again, if you read the introduction of this particular psalm, to the chief musician, Artaskith, a miktam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. He wrote this song, this psalm, when he fled from somebody that was trying to kill him. Somebody was trying to take his life. They were trying to take the most precious things in his life. And even then, David was not flustered. He ran. He didn't wait for the madman to kill him. He ran. So he ran. But even when while he was running, he was assured in the love of God. Let's read this psalm and close out tonight. Glory to God. Look at this. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. For my soul trusts in you. Yea, in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. See, he's dealing with calamities because there's a madman trying to kill him for no reason. He hasn't done anything wrong. Somebody is going after his life, trying to just get him out of his existence, because the man is insecure. He hasn't done anything wrong. All he has done is he fought the enemy of the nation. He believed God. He was secure in the love of God, and God gave him the victory. And because of that, this man is trying to destroy his life. Well, David didn't say, "Oh, look, after all the good that I've done in this nation, after all the things that I risked my life, I even fought against that Goliath, you could have killed me." This is what people do because they are not secure in the love of God. I'm going to close tonight. I'm going to come back to this next week. Because they are not secure in the love of God. You can easily tell when how people respond, how people react. What people do in the situations of life shows you a lot about how they see themselves. You could have gone on and on. Say, "I just only helped the nation. I only tried, just did my best. But in the midst of that, they still don't appreciate me. They're still trying to kill me. They didn't do that. He didn't waste his time doing that. Why would he do that when he's loved? Why would you waste your time doing that when you are loved? Our time is up tonight. Let's finish this. Look, it says, "I will make you in you, under the shadow, yea, the shadow of your wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that will swallow me." He wants to swallow me, but my God will send from heaven and deliver me. He will deliver me because he delights in me. Selah, he said, "Send forth his mercy and his truth." Verse 4, "My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue is a sharp sword. All they want to do is destroy me." But then in the midst of that, he said, "Lord, be thou exalted above the heavens. Let your glory be above the earth." He's praising God. In the midst of lions, he's praising God. In the midst of people of fire, he's praising God. As though those people don't exist. As though the lions are not there. He's praising God like Daniel. Like Daniel in the lion's den. He was just walking around like a king. Why? Because he's secure in the love of God. He's secure in the love of God. They can't harm me. God already said, when I walk through the waters, he will be there. Right? If I walk through the fire, I will not be burnt. No matter what life throws at me, it will not hurt me. God will carry me, right? I'm wonderfully and fearfully made. He's always thinking about me. Ah, marvelous are his works. And that I'm marvelous. And that my soul knows very well. Eh? What is there to worry about? There's nothing to worry about. What is there to be concerned? What is there to be crying about? There's nothing to cry about. Let's praise God. He's praising in the midst of the fire. Glory to God. Now look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. It says, they have prepared a net for my steps. This is what Satan does. He goes ahead. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me in the midst whereof they are falling themselves, Selah. So they prepared a trap for him, a snare for him, but they fell into it. Why? Because he was kept by the love of God. Verse 7, I love this. I love this very much. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. Therefore, I will sing and I will praise. There are lions all around. There's precious of life all around. There are threatening noises all around. But for me, my heart is fixed. I will sing and I will praise because I am secure in the love of God. Then say, I wake up my glory. Awake, psaltery, harp, all of you, let's pray. Turn on the music. All of you, let's praise God. Let's praise him early. I will awake. I myself, I will awake early. I will praise you, O Lord, among the people. I will praise you. You see, I'm so secure in the love of God that no matter what is going on, I praise. It's Wednesday night. Let's close this. Father, we thank you so much for loving us. Oh, hallelujah. We're wonderfully and fearfully made. You love us with an everlasting love. Lord, we celebrate your love. Glory to God. We swim in the river of your love. Hallelujah. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. We sing, we praise, because we are secure in your love. We are your beloved. We are your beloved. Bless all of my brothers and sisters tonight, Lord. Everyone under the sound of my voice. Minister, impress, impart life. The love that you have made available. Impart the knowledge and the revelation of it to them through tonight. The next several days. I thank you for it, Father. We give you the glory and the praise. You alone deserve it. You alone deserve it. So receive it to yourself, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I call you beloved. You know why I call you beloved? You are God's David, right? You are loved by him. You are loved. Remind yourself every day this coming week. I'm loved by God. I'm God's David. I'm God's New Testament David. I'm loved by God. Keep on celebrating the love of God. I look forward to seeing you same time next week. God bless you. Good night.